The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today, well, she's got a brand new book. It's titled The Start of Me and You. Emery Lord, Emery, welcome.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, The Start of Me and You. Sounds like almost maybe a love story, or maybe it's one of those books. It's a self-help book. What do we have here?
Yeah, the title itself was sort of a collaboration between me, my editor, and my agent. And one of the things that helped it snap into place was when my editor suggested that instead of the more grammatically correct, the start of you and me, she rearranged it to the start of me and you to put some emphasis on the start of me, which does sound like a self-help book, and you, which brings it more into sort of love story territory. And I think in a way it's sort of both, even though it's fiction. It has a sort of self-help component, and it also has a love interest component.
You know, I think you could look at the start of me and you, and you have, of course, the artistic privilege to put anything down you want, whether it's grammatically correct or not.
Yeah.
But when you're reading The Start of Me and You, in this book, you know, it's a nice story, kind of almost a romance in a sense. And you could look at a book like this and say, you know, how is your lead character going to get through this? And how maybe might I get through it, huh?
I hope that's something, especially since it's a book that is about a teenage character and is shelved in bookstores for teenagers, although I think I probably have 50-50 adult readers to teen readers so far anyway, which I love. And I hope it's something that would help teen readers sort of guide themselves through a grieving experience, and not necessarily grief as in the loss of someone, which is what happens in the book. But I think grieving experiences can be a lot of things when you're a teen and trying to form your identity. And so I hope that it is kind of something that can be not necessarily a how-to, but relatability maybe in terms of a fictional experience, perhaps, but also one that feels like it could be applicable.
No, Emery, we'll talk about your first book a little later, book number two. Yet, you know, you're like the author that's been around for a long time because you have woven several stories together here in one, which seems like it might be kind of tough for a young upstart author.
Oh, thanks. For this one, I was really interested in trying to weave together family, friends, school for teens, extracurriculars, and sort of self-identity in combination, which I think is something that's perhaps a little more common in the adult books that I enjoy reading. I'm sort of a one-to-one reader. I go back and forth between reading young adult in sort of the industry that I write in and reading books that are marketed as adult. And a lot of the adult books that I read are really just explorations of people who are turning 40, and it's just what's happening in their lives. They're not necessarily tensely plotted. They're more lyrical and self-effacing, and they're just character relationships. And I think that's kind of what I wanted to go for in this one, instead of making it high stakes, high drama, life or death, even though being a teenager can sometimes feel that way. I kind of wanted to just weave together basic life in a more balanced way and still give it a kind of tenseness that I think is normal to feel, but also give it an everydayness that I know that I felt as a teenager, and give all of those different pieces of life equal weight that I think they deserve. I like seeing friendships given equal heft in both life and stories to romantic interests. Same thing with family and with personal interests that don't have anything to do with anyone else, just things that you do for yourself. So those are always things that I'm trying to think about when I'm working with a protagonist to give them sort of balanced life. Or if they don't have a balanced life, to on some level in the narrative try to point out that that's not healthy.
You know, your protagonist in this book, it starts out, she has lost what she thought might be the love of her life. I mean, you're a teenager. Every love might be the love
anyone
of your
could
life.
Be it. Yes. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Not only that, but she's a little awkward. She finds somebody else. She hates people coming up to her.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And they have that look on their face. It's just so sad.
Yeah.
And just apologizing for her loss.
Yeah.
Yet she doesn't see it that way. Huh?
Right. I think that was sort of my exploration of how your community can kind of put you through a reflection of your own grief for even longer than you're experiencing it. And it's so well-meaning and it's so empathetic and people are trying to be so loving and they are, I think, unwittingly boxing you into an identity that you maybe don't feel is yours anymore or that you're trying to move away from. And that's sort of the headspace that I was in while I was writing it. And I, of course, at the time, I felt as though I was crafting fiction and I was on a different plane just working on my art. But it was also, you know, a very personal experience of trying to react to how a loss is so intimate. And having to bring it into a public space when people know about your loss is jarring. And it's easy to feel both grateful to have it acknowledged and a little bit resentful to have it acknowledged, and sometimes at the same time. And what a strange experience for a teenager to have, and so many do, when you have so much else going on in your life and then to have to go through your first major experience with grief in a public sphere when it's what people know about you. How strange and horrible. And I think ultimately, if you can get through it, something that is strengthening. It was definitely something that I won't say I enjoyed exploring it because it was not fun in the traditional sense, but it was challenging and interesting, to be sure.
Well, Paige is your main protagonist in the start of Me and You. You know, she's not only going through that loss hearing people, but she bumps into somebody that she just thought she could just love forever, I guess.
Yeah.
Another boy.
Yeah.
And yet she seems like she's a little backwards sometimes, doesn't she?
Yes, the boy that she has sort of had this aspirational crush on since middle school, in practice, she can't really seem to find a meaningful connection with him. And I was really interested by the idea that our, I guess, idealism when it comes to the crushes of our younger years, or maybe even later in life, it can look so perfect from afar. But when you get up close, maybe that person is just as great as you always thought from afar. There is nothing wrong at all with the guy that she had such a crush on. He's not a jerk. He doesn't wind up being unkind or anything, you know, anything like that at all. It's just not a dynamic that works with who she is, that is demonstrated to her repeatedly and like somewhat cringingly in a way that she's just very difficult for her to like form conversation with him. They don't have much to talk about or connect with. And I think, at least for me, that's something that certainly happened in high school, where you just like want something, and not even necessarily with someone who you have, you know, a crush on, but even with a friendship, you're like, I want to make this work. And it's something about the connection isn't laying flush. And I wanted to explore the like awkwardness of those conversations where everyone involved knows that it's not working, even though she's pushing it so hard. She's jamming the puzzle pieces together. Bless her heart. Yeah.
See, I thought it was just guys that were really awkward, but no. Here Paige is like that. She's probably the only girl that I've known that's been awkward, I guess.
No.
Now, I don't want to give too much away, but I'm going to go one more because that's sure. Kind of the two stories here. But there's a third. Paige, she comes from a divorced family.
Yes.
And she lives with her mother.
Yes.
And her father takes care of her also. looks after her needs and everything. And now dad is like, Paige, I'm starting to date after all these years.
Yep.
And then mom calls her down, who is an editor of a magazine.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, Paige, I'm starting to date again. And mm-hmm. it's like, she's thinking now, hey, this is great. Both of them are starting mm-hmm. to date. But then her world comes crashing down. I don't know if you want to really talk about
I'll spoil my own book. I don't think it's a spoiler because it's really the how it plays out that's more the meat of the story is that her divorced parents start dating each other again, and which for a lot of children of divorced parents, I think is the dream. That's the ideal, and for Paige, that is a nightmare. And it's really for her, her parents are sort of a parallel relationship to Paige interacting with the guy who she has a crush on, and it's not working with. It's just no matter what she does, they just don't make sense together. That's how she sees her parents, as she watched their sort of excruciatingly slow split and finally divorce, and watched them become happier individuals. After that divorce happened, it was such a relief for her to watch them flourish as parents and as people because she remembered how tense their household was in those days before that. And so hearing that they're getting back together to her is not like, oh, great news. It's, what are you thinking? I don't want to watch that happen again. I love both of you. Didn't we learn our lesson the first time? I just thought it was an interesting relationship to get into. And I've been shocked since putting the first advanced copies of this book out how many people have told me this has happened to them, that their parents got back together. And some of those people felt the same way as Paige, really, really resistant to the idea of watching their parents hurt one another again. And some people felt the exact opposite. They were thrilled that their parents were back together. But I'm not that surprised that it happens that often, that people grow independently and then connect again. But it was a really like sort of fun part of the story to have her parents going through their own, on some level, perhaps it's fair to call it teenage type drama of their own, while Paige, actual teenager, has a little better perspective than they do and is dealing with her own teenage drama.
Would you call this, you know, I see in places like People Magazine, other magazines, beach reads. Would you consider this a beach read?
Sure. I think it'd be fair to call it that. Although a couple of people have told me they've cried at the end. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel about crying at the beach, if that's something that I just recently cried at during one of my beach reads. It was George Saunders, so no shock there. But yeah, it's a school year set book. So this one is not a summer set book, but I still think it has that quality to it. It certainly has a cover, sort of a rainbow sunset cover. It certainly has that beach read quality, I think.
And if you take it to the beach this summer, you could always blame those tears on the humidity, I guess. Eh?
There you go.
All right, now, you know, Mary Lou Retton once told me that after I asked her how old she was, she said, you never ask a lady her age. And I was scolded by Mary Lou Retton. So I'm not going to do that, but you're a younger author. You have one book out. This is book number two. Tell me a little bit about that first book.
Sure. The first book was released last year. So it's called Open Road Summer. Started with Me and You as the second. It was just out earlier this week. And both of them I started working on seriously after I graduated from college. I majored in English Lit almost accidentally. I majored primarily in public relations, thinking that was a good way to make a living off of writing. But I had so many electives in English literature because I loved reading and dissecting and discussing it in class. That by the time I was nearing graduation, I had amassed so many English electives that I had more than enough to constitute an English literature major, which should have been a clue to me that that's what I should have been doing. But I started working on them seriously after I graduated because it was just my favorite thing to be doing, to be crafting both of those. And I actually started working on The Start of Me and You before Open Road Summer, even though it is the second book that is released. But it's one that I wanted a little more time and perspective to work on since I started it in in my early 20s. I needed a little bit of space when you're writing about grief and loss and learning and all of that. I needed to do all of those things before I could go back and edit it. And with Open Road Summer, which was the first one, but that I drafted second, reverse.
you weren't a mathematician, I guess.
No, certainly not. But The Start of Me and You was more of an emotional draft, and Open Road Summer was a bit more of a fun escapism type of drafting experience. It had some pretty serious components as well, but they're pretty different writing experiences, but both of them really interesting way to spend my early 20s working on this.
So were the two books, Open Road Summer and The Start of Me and You, are they similar in flavor? Are they a book that go together, or are they independently separate?
I think they have a lot of thematic similarities in that, and I think this will be true of anything I ever write, that there's going to be emphasis on flawed young female narrators who are growing and strengthening themselves, family dynamics, friendship dynamics. I think those are always going to be a part of my writing. Loss, I think, I have very misleading covers. They're very saturated pinks and deep greens and these beautiful colors. And to me, all of my books are about loss. they're happy books, but they also have that component. However, this book, The Start of Me and You, has a narrator who is introverted, a bit awkward, as you say. She's very, I say that she's young for her age. She's 16, but a bit naive and sheltered, lives in the suburbs, is a very sweet girl. Whereas the narrator of my first book is old for her age, has experienced a really hard childhood, does not have many role models in her life, and has been through a lot. She has a really clipped, sharp, angry narrative voice. There are a lot of thematic similarities, but the two narrators are extremely different. And before events, I like to warn teenagers that I'm not the narrator of my first book. You can come up and I will absolutely be nice to you. It is a narrative voice, not my own. But so that part is different, and I will always be different all of my writing. My third book is, again, an extremely different narrative voice, but dealing with the same themes, that sort of thing.
You know, I can almost see your book signing when you're talking about the book and the chairs are way back and you're saying, come on, closer.
I know, it's okay. I'm not surly.
You know, Emery, you said you started writing The Start of Me and You and your other book right about the same time in your 20s, which, you know, not far off from the teenage years.
Yeah.
As you get older, I think you kind of forget that. So how did you get in that sense of time writing this book?
It's a good question. When I started writing The Start of Me and You, I was very freshly to my own grieving experience. And I had also just graduated from college. And those two things combined made me feel horribly young again. I mean, I was young. But it made me feel like being in high school again, in the way that you feel completely in over your head and like you're trying to figure everything out and you're trying to form an identity. I think that's what high school came down to for me, is that you're trying to suss out who you are and what you're doing in the world, what your identity is, what you like, what you don't like, what your passions are. And I think that grief can wipe that slate a little bit, and you can find yourself redefining what matters to you and who you are in the world that you exist in, and all of that. And particularly for me, having experienced the change of being out on my own for the first time, it was just an identity shock. It felt like being a freshman in high school again, of trying to do all of that, I guess, self-work over again, only this time with the additional bonus of paying bills and having a job. But I think all of that helped me really get in touch with that. And it does not hurt that I am married to my high school boyfriend. So so he is always around and available to remind me that some things about high school can actually be endurably good. And he is one of those endurably good things about high school that was good then and has only become better and is always around for a reminder of the, you know, awkwardness and fun and all of that. So
he must have been the one in back of you admiring that nice ponytail.
I don't know about that, but...
Well, the start of Me and You, of course, started before your first book that you published.
Yes.
But, you know, they're kind of... you did go ahead and finish the first one second or whatever. I'm a little lost on that. But what was the challenge of doing that book? Because that must have been the toughest to go from start to finish. And maybe the start of Me and You... A little easier, maybe not. How does that all work?
Every book is very different in terms of how the editing process works. The drafting process and then the editing process, it just kind of depends. I always think that with each book I work on that I have it figured out, like, oh, this is my process. This is how I work. I draft and then I edit and then this is how I do it. And then it always turns out the next one that I work on, in order to get it done, I have to do something totally different. So for the start of Me and You, I had to draft it, get everything down, then give it some space and come back to it quite some time later. For Open Road Summer, that was pretty fast, start to finish, good edits almost right away that I really dug into. My third one has been different than that. My fourth one has been, that I'm working on now, has been entirely different than that. I've been working on it out of chronological order, which is bizarre, but it seems to be working. It all just depends on what the different story is. But yeah, they've all been different. I wish I had some set process that I always did, but I am afraid that I don't.
Emery, you're just saying that you have got your third book finished, working on the fourth book, the start of Me and You, out right now. What is your timeline for putting these books out?
Yeah, the publishing schedule is really long. It tends to be between a year and a half to two. So right now I'm in the very last stages of final edits for my third book, and that'll be out in a little over a year, maybe even a year. And then the fourth one will be out in about 2 years. So I'm in the drafting process of getting that one through to completion. So it's always strange that I just released my second book, but I'm trying to finish my fourth. It's quite an adventure that I'm in final edits for the third, drafting fourth, launching second, still doing things for the first. It's yes.
Okay. Yeah. My head's spinning right now with all that. All right. So the start of Me and You, will we see reoccurring characters in your other books? Are these books related or independent?
Good question. They're standalone books. All the stories are independent. But the characters sort of exist in the same universe to me. They all live in different cities. I set books in all different places. I wouldn't be surprised if I have a little bit of overlap character cameos in the future, just because to me, all the characters sort of exist in a sort of parallel universe that is my own. I did in this book name check a character from my first book, just as a sort of wink nudge to anyone who read the first one. And I don't know, I did not do anything like that with my third one, but who knows? We'll see with fourth and beyond if any cameos make it in there.
When Emery Lord goes out to the supermarket or she goes out to concerts or anything else she does she take on a character to see how that character works out in real life?
I can't say that I ever take on a character, but I did in high school. I did do acting and was on stage in that way, which was always strangely comfortable to me to perform a character in a way that being myself in front of an audience is strangely not as comfortable. So maybe I should consider this, taking on some kind of author identity. But all I've got is my... I'm helplessly myself. I call it Chandler Bing syndrome. in public, in private, I'm just dorky me.
Yeah, I find it's easier to be somebody besides me sometimes. But anyway, the book, brand new book, is The Start of Me and You by Emery Lord. Emery, if we want to go someplace, maybe you have a website where we can look up and check out this book, maybe the first book, and when the other one's come out, we could even find out more about those and even where you'll be appearing at for book tours.
All that info is on my website, which is emerylord.com. Emery is E-M-E-R-Y, like, yes, Emery.
Like an emery board.
Like an emery board, yes, indeed.
Not as rough, though.
Not nearly as rough. Emerylord.com. Can also follow me on Twitter under the same name. Yeah, be great.
All right, the book is The Start of Me and You in bookstores everywhere. You know, what a great read. Take you back to your high school years. Maybe those years were kind of clumsy for you. Maybe you were introverted. Maybe you were that extrovert. But in The Start of Me and You, you're going to meet them all, by Emery Lord. Emery, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Emery Lord, author of The Start of Me and You. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.